The Madhouse Chicago Hockey Podcast is brought to you by Triple Threat Sports, Marishka's in Crest Hill, Dr. Squatch Soap Company, and by Fry the Coop. Here are your hosts, NBC Chicago's James Naveau and 670 The Score's hockey guy, Jay Zawoski. Let's drop the puck.
Welcome in, friends and well-wishers. Yes, this is indeed the Madhouse Chicago Hockey Podcast. I know the name of my own show, dang it. My name is James Naveau from NBC5 Chicago, and with me, of course, as always, is the one and only Jay Zawoski of 670 The Score of the I'm Fat Podcast, and hoping to sell a piece of art, a haiku he wrote about Teuvo Teravainen. Apparently, crypto art is all the rage right now, and Jay Zawoski, he is all over that trend. How are you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great. It's really good to talk to you. I feel like we haven't done a show in a long time, which is like not really true because we've done one semi-recently. It just feels like
we
forever.
Did one on Sunday, man.
Yeah, I know. It just
the longest 5 days in history, apparently.
This has been a very long week. There's no doubt about that. It's my first week back to work, so I think that might be part of it, why the week is just taking longer. But, ugh, man, it just feels like I haven't talked to you forever. So it's good to talk to you. It's good to talk to the Madhouse Podcast listeners, as always. Email us, madhousepod@gmail.com. We're on Twitter, @madhousepod. Instagram, madhouse_pod. Look for us on Facebook. We've got our merchandise shop, madhousepodmerch.com, powered by our friends at Triple Threat Sports. And, of course, we're on Patreon, patreon.com/madhousepod. Everything Madhouse Podcast lives on madhousepod.com. So make sure you check that out. We have a ton to get to today. It's not just the Hawks 4-2 win over the Dallas Stars, but we've got Kirby Dach coming back. We've got a little bit of update on an idea James pitched in the last podcast, and we've got a new TV deal for the NHL. So much to get to, but let's start with the win over the Dallas Stars. Like I said, the Hawks win 4-2 over the Dallas Stars, despite being outshot 706-6. The Hawks somehow win. No, they get goals by Kubalik, Soderberg, Keith, and DeBrincat. They're up 4-0, and then Dallas scores two goals in the third to tighten the gap. But the Hawks were outshot 30-16, had a total of 8 shots on goal for the first two periods. It was a very strange game. And while, yes, the Dallas Stars had the edge in play, it didn't feel that far apart, did it?
No, and I think Ben Pope did point this out, that the Blackhawks did have a decent number of shots attempted in the game. The Dallas Stars were just blocking an absolute crap ton of shots tonight. So, yeah, the possession numbers weren't great. I think the Blackhawks ended up getting out Corsi'd about 64-36 or something like that. So it wasn't a great night possession-wise, but the shot blocking of the Dallas Stars definitely skewed the numbers a little bit. And then obviously, you know, you had a bad night in net when you don't make an even strength save. And I'm fair to middle and certain that Qdobin did not stop a single shot at even strength tonight. Am I right in that?
I believe that's correct. That's not good, as they say in the old country. That's not what you're looking for. But look, it was not a great effort from the Hawks. It was a gutsy effort from the Hawks, which was sort of good to see, because I think the last game, look, this team is going to be overmatched a lot of nights in terms of talent and in terms of other things. But I feel like the last game, there wasn't a lot of fight in the Hawks, right? They just kind of laid down and took it. Tonight, despite being outplayed, they really sort of willed themselves to victory. And look, Khudobin was bad. There's no doubt about that. That played a role too. But you score two power play goals, and how many times have you and I said it? If you're not playing well or you're overmatched talent-wise, a successful special team can be the difference maker. Hawks scored two power play goals. How many goals did they win by, James?
They won by two goals, Jay Zawoski.
Interesting. Interesting how that works.
And I'm going to say that there were a few good things that we can focus on in this game.
Sure.
And I do think the power play was one of them. I thought the Blackhawks had a really solid plan, it looked like, on the power play tonight. I really liked the work that Carl Soderberg was doing in front of the net. I think he had a deflection on an Adam Boqvist shot on the first power play goal and then was planted right in front of the net when Alex DeBrincat scored his second goal. Sorry, just an absolute snipe job. job from DeBrincat, his 15th of the season. That dude's on pace to score 30 goals in 56 games. That's pretty good, I'm going to say.
That is pretty good. Yes, you're on it. You're on it. By the way, another guy who should be mentioned real quick, 2 assists for Adam Boqvist, 12 points in 17 games for him.
I'm telling you, man, you go on that COVID list, you come back with superpowers. I think the Blackhawks are starting to learn that.
Yeah, and you know, DeBrincat, I don't want to stop on him because there were several moments in this game where he just blew past Dallas Stars defenders. There was a moment in the first where he got so open so quick that I don't even think he knew really what to do. He's like, whoa, right. look how fast I am. What do I do at this speed?
He clearly was pissing him off because Heiskanen committed a penalty later in the game, which was just a really dumb interference penalty. He was like, I am not getting beaten into that corner again. I am not going to let you go and retrieve the puck on that dump in. I am going to take a 2-minute seat just to make sure that you don't make me look bad again. It was really hilarious watching the Dallas Stars shoot themselves in the foot repeatedly during the second period of the game especially. And the pace of Alex DeBrincat did have a bit to do with that just because the Stars had no answers for him tonight.
Yeah, and by the way, I wanted to see if you noticed this too. And maybe I was just looking for it a little bit, but did you notice that the Stars were putting a little extra stank on it when they were hitting Matthias Janmark?
They were really going after him. I had noticed
Murphy.
Were going after Connor Murphy. They were going after hard. Murphy had another kind of borderline hit tonight, so that may have been part of the reason why that happened.
Yeah, that could be, but I wonder. I'm not going to make anything out of it, but I just did notice it.
No, let's make something out of it. Let's start beef.
The Dallas Stars hate their former teammate Matthias Janmark. Why?
I mean, what could a guy like Matthias Janmark possibly do to them?
He's
not like Alex Burrows or Rafi Torres, for God's sake.
No, I don't think so. I just noticed, like, wow, they seem to be, maybe it just worked out where he just took a bunch of hits, but I guess when you're a guy that goes in corners, it's going to happen more often, so.
What kind of name is Matthias? Bam!
That's not good. You're implying some things there that I, once again, James Neveau at, you can reach him, just like Troy Murray did.
So listen, Mr. Bus Tosser, did you point that out to Troy,
no,
or did he hear that organically?
Out of the blue, he texted me, and I later asked him, like, do you actually listen, or did someone tell you? He's like, no, someone told me. But he had the specifics, man. He said, tell James I'm coming after him. He knew. Really funny.
Because I was so, like, vehement in my criticism of a Troy Murray. You know, I hate that guy totally.
Yeah,
he
goes, you're
going to make that a new drop on the podcast, by the way.
He said, I'm coming after James. Lucky you stuck up for me. I hope all is well. And then
he's going to cross-check me or something, and all because I'm correct, which is that's the thing that I can kind of hang my hat on, is that I'm right. I know how to define a 500 hockey team. And I disagree with Troy on this fact. There's not much I disagree with him on. I really like him. I just think he's wrong about that. Is that so wrong?
No,
I don't think
the truth of the matter, too, is I listen back to the podcast, as I always do, so I can self-scout and realize how bad I am at my job. I noticed that I actually ended up agreeing with you, too.
Yes, you did.
So I
I'm
did
glad you
with
admitted
you.
That to the people. I didn't want to be the one who brought it up.
No, yeah. So I don't think Troy. If Troy kills you, I will be there with you, taking the beating from him as well. Okay, a couple other guys I want to mention in this game. Nice to see Kevin Lankinen bounce back with a strong performance. Didn't like Hintz's goal, but it's late. Kind of a garbage time. We're still 9.5 left in the game or so. But aside from that, he was outstanding. Really strong in his net, really strong positionally. That's the Lincoln that we saw all year. He was named the game's number one star. I think that's probably appropriate if you're not going to give it to DeBrincat. And Brandon Hagel in the third period, Dallas had scored their second goal. There was about 5.5 minutes left in the third. An odd man break was developing, and Hagel got on his horse and just backchecked. It was sort of a small thing. They didn't even really mention it on the broadcast. But Hagel's on his horse, flying as fast as he can, back into the Hawks' defensive zone, and just, boom, kind of bops the stick of the Stars player, breaking up a potential 2-on-1. Those little things, man, those add up, and those can be the difference. If Dallas scores on that play, it's 4-3. It's a totally different ballgame. 4-3 with 5.5 minutes to go, that's tough. That's all the momentum in Dallas's favor. So little plays like that can make all the difference. And one more I wanted to mention, too, Adam Boqvist in the second period, Hawks are on the power play, give the puck away in their zone. Boqvist breaks up a pass that would have led to an odd man rush for Dallas. He's starting to make those little defensive plays too. Mm-hmm. And while the defensive game still has a ways to go to catch up to his offensive game, that gap is closing. And I've been really pleased with what we've seen from Adam Boqvist since his return. Again, 2 assists in this game. I have not even looked up his metrics, and I know if I do, I'll be probably embarrassed. No, he was actually pretty good. He was, for all things considered, 42.86% Corsi. That's a 9.52 Corsi for relative, so better than the average of the team. So solid game for him, and I really like what he's been showing lately for the Hawks.
Yeah, if you wanted to use Corsi to potentially deflate one of your arguments, Brandon Hagel was a 20% tonight. So if you want to selectively pick out Corsi to potentially make yourself look bad, I would go in that direction.
You know, but it was just, you know, there were just so many instances of Hagel. Even there were a couple times where he tried to stop an icing and just didn't do it. But that guy is 100% motor all the time. And that,
it's, you know, very Andrew Shaw-like, and I know we keep saying it, and I'm sure people are tired of that comparison, but it's hard to come up with a better comp than that for him.
I just need to see him put the puck in the net.
He had a great scoring chance tonight, and he did not put a good shot on it.
No,
it
to was, put it right in the goalie's chest. But he's got 7 assists.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to knock the guy. He does have 7 helpers, and we've talked about his passing being a really good thing. And, I mean, if you're going to aggressively go get the puck in the corners and in the middle of the ice like he does, if you can pass too, that is a really dangerous weapon. And that's one that kind of gets overlooked a little bit when you look at all the other stuff that Brandon Hagel does well. He's a solid passer, man, and if he can combine that with speed, that is a tremendous weapon for the Blackhawks.
Well, who stood out for you tonight? You know, I mentioned a few guys. I want to see who you have on your list.
I did. I was going to mention Boqvist as well. Obviously, the 2 assists, you're never going to, you know, fault a guy, an offensive-minded guy, for getting 2 assists in a game. I really liked what he did there. He also had 3 block shots. Something that's been driving me absolutely insane about the Blackhawks lately, especially on the penalty kill, is they have just been completely unwilling to get into shooting lanes and to block shots. They're kind of doing this little ole thing. I don't know if it's because Calvin DeHaan almost got liquefied by a shot a few games ago or what it is, but the Blackhawks have just been very scared to do that. And tonight you had DeHaan and Connor Murphy both had 5 block shots. Adam Boqvist had 3. So hopefully showing a little bit of a grit and grind there. I think you do want those guys blocking shots and keeping some stuff away from Kevin Lankinen. So really good to see that. And then I know I mentioned him earlier, but Carl Soderberg is continuing, I think, to make some really good progress for the Blackhawks. He had a goal, obviously, tonight, had a couple of shots. He, too, had 3 block shots, and he had 3 hits in the game, just making an impact all over the ice. I know a lot of people on Twitter were kind of bringing up the same topic over and over again about whether or not it was actually going to be a good idea to trade him at the deadline, even though he is an expiring deal and could be a really intriguing piece for a team that's looking for kind of a second or third line center to kind of play that role for them going down the stretch. I'm still not quite there yet in terms of, oh, you can't have my Carl Soderberg. He's a critical veteran presence on a potential playoff team. But I'll be damned if that dude has not come back from a little bit of a sluggish start. That dude has absolutely roared back, and there is a reason why he's getting significant playing time on the power play, shorthanded and at even strength. That dude is doing a lot of things well right now, and I've got to give him praise for the way that he played tonight.
Yeah, he's been solid in that presence in front of the net. I really liked the way Jamal Mayers described screening a goalie. He said, basically, you just play goalie. Right, just try to square yourself to the puck, get in front, and get a nice clean angle at it, because you know that's what the goalie behind you is trying to do as well. That's it's like the simplest way to, you know, there's like sometimes you hear something and it just makes it click. That to me, if I was a guy whose job it was to be in front of that, just play goalie. I'd be like, oh yeah, that makes sense. I know you're saying, you know, just the sort of angle to take. And I don't know, I thought that was an interesting way to describe it. But Soderberg's been really, really solid at that, and they knew that's what they were getting when they signed him. He's done that throughout his career.
Right.
Your comment on the trade thing leads us to our next little segment here. But first, I want to tell our friends about Dr. Squatch Natural Soap Company. We've been talking to you guys about Dr. Squatch for over almost a year now. What, maybe May or so we got into Dr. Squatch. And it's been a love affair ever since. And our listeners have really jumped on and really seem to enjoy Dr. Squatch as well. And if you haven't tried it, you will love it too. What is Dr. Squatch? Good question. Their bread and butter is natural handmade bricks of soap. They're absolutely unbelievable. All natural, made in the USA, all different textures, all different scents, all different exfoliation levels. I love everything they have to offer, but my favorites are the Cool Fresh Aloe and the Cold Brew Cleanse. Those are my two favorite ones. Go to drsquatch.com, check out what they have to offer, but it's not just soap. They've got shampoo, they've got conditioner, they've got toothpaste, they've got beard oil, they've got deodorant. I love the deodorant, absolutely love it. Smells so good. The bay rum and the birchwood breeze just smell great all day long. If it's for your body and it makes you smell good and makes you feel good, Dr. Squatch has it. So go to drsquatch.com. When you're ready to check out, use that promo code MADHOUSE20. You'll save on your order while supporting the podcast at the same time. Again, drsquatch.com. Use that promo code MADHOUSE20. All right, so last podcast, James, you sort of reestablished an idea you had that you presented during our hot mic broadcast. And it was basically, with all this cap space, the Blackhawks are in a unique position where they can, air quotes, help out a contender by taking on a big contract that's expiring so teams can make trades they want to make. Very often in the past, the Hawks have had to be on the other end of that trade where they would say, hey, you got to take this contract, but if you do, we'll give you a pretty good prospect for you taking this off our hands.
Mm-hmm.
After you said that, I reached out to one of my top sources and they flat out told me that's why we are saving the cap space we have. That is their plan. The plan is to take on some bad contracts in hopes of saying, all right, you've got this, you know, $4.5 million contract that's kind of holding you up from making a trade you really want to make. Give us the contract. We'll take it on for the next, you know, for the rest of the season. But you're giving us this prospect we really like, or you're giving us a draft pick too. And they're working from a place of power. Now, that said, no one knows what the trade deadline this season is going to look like. We don't know how active it's going to be. We don't know if teams are going to be wanting to make trades or not. The uncertainty of the cap and everything. All of it. It might make for a weird, inactive trade deadline, or it could be a totally normal trade deadline where moves are happening all the time. But I'm just telling you, James, your idea was right on. I was told directly from a source that is indeed their plan, and they're stockpiling cap space for that reason.
Mm-hmm.
When I tweeted that out, a very good question said, isn't that incongruous with the development plan? And I could see why you'd say that, right? If you're going to take on a bad contract, but, you know, Joe Blow makes $4.5 million and he's 33 years old. Well, he's on your team. You're going to play him, right? Sure. But if you're getting assets back, yeah, maybe you sit down a Matthew Highmore or somebody else to play this veteran. But long term, you're adding assets to help you down the road. So it's sort of a different approach to the same outcome. Plus, keep in mind, like you said, James, I know I'm talking a lot here. I'm sorry. It doesn't mean that they wouldn't trade Soderberg or wouldn't trade Janmark either, right? So, you know, maybe a team has $500K in cap space and they really want Soderberg, so the Hawks will take some. You know what I mean? There's lots of ways to make this work. So the Hawks are planning on maybe taking on a higher salary expiring contract or two to help get some assets in the future.
I will admit I've fallen down on the job a little bit. I haven't really been looking into guys that could potentially fit that bill for the Blackhawks. But I have obviously looked at the amount of cap space that they have created based on the fact they have so many guys on long-term injured reserve right now. And obviously, if and when Kirby Dach comes back, it lowers it a little bit. The Blackhawks still by far have the most current available cap space right now. And I think that the ability to allow a team to kind of jump the market if they want to, if a team like Buffalo decides that they want to offload contracts or some, you know, a team like that, you know, goes in that direction right now, you have that opportunity for the Blackhawks to jump in and say, hey, guys, we'll do you a favor. If you really want to go out and acquire a guy from the Buffalo Sabres, we'll take on a bad contract from you so you can really go, you know, have your pick of the litter in terms of their roster. And the Blackhawks right now have more than $22 million in available cap space, which, like I said, is the most in the NHL. They're one of only five teams in the league that have more than $8 million in available salary cap space right now. And a lot of teams that are kind of in the upper echelon of the standings are going to be in that kind of ballpark of not having very much space to work with. Your Tampa Bay Lightnings, your Washington Capitals, your Toronto Maple Leafs, they all have scant cap space. And if they really want to add somebody at the deadline, they're really going to have to kind of finagle it into potentially get rid of a bad contract or two. The Blackhawks could welcome those in with open arms, and it's just common sense to make that room as early as possible so that you kind of put yourself on the radar of teams who need to shed that cap space. And then in the end, if you're able to do it for a little bit longer than another team, maybe you get a slightly better asset out of it. I think that the Blackhawks are going to have a really interesting time negotiating with teams if that's what they end up deciding to do. And you mentioned the idea of obviously young players kind of losing out on playing time to these older guys that come in. That might be a good thing, because you look at the way this season is structured and how it's just basically a sprint from start to finish. They still have 28 games left, and they have less than 2 months to play those games. There are going to be a lot of opportunities to potentially rest some of these young guys who maybe aren't necessarily equipped to handle the burdens of what's the equivalent then of obviously a full NHL season just kind of condensed into this time frame. Maybe you give those guys a breather. Maybe you're able to give Calvin DeHaan a night off every once in a while. I know that obviously he just had a couple games off due to injury, but he's also a guy who has shown he plays three games in 4 days. He tends to struggle a little bit. So it could be a benefit to the Blackhawks in more ways than one if they do want to do that. And I did feel a sense of validation when you brought up what your source had said. And occasionally, I sort of know what I'm talking about just a little bit.
Just a little bit. That's a little bit. All right, let's just play a game. Give me a contender. Name me a contender. Just vomit one out.
Minnesota Wild.
All right, let's go to the Minnesota Wild. They currently have $707,000 in cap space. All right? So if they want to get better, they've got a 32-year-old Nick Bonino making $4.1 million. He's an unrestricted free agent after this
year. Not Nick Bongino, by the way.
No. They've got Nick Bjugstad, 28 years old, making just over $2 million. Okay, so there's two unrestricted free agents with deals coming up. Ian Cole, that's a great name. $3.45 million, 32 years old, unrestricted after the season. Now, these are all good players, right? There's no doubt that like all these guys are guys that are going to play for these teams. But if one of them is eyeing a legitimate big move and they need to move out $2-3 million, the Hawks are right there, right? And maybe the Hawks say, all right, you want to do that? Well, give us a second round pick too, or give us this prospect we really like, or whatever. And look, it doesn't necessarily have to be an expiring contract. If there's a contender that wants to pick up a stud at the deadline, a $6-7 million player, and they need that cap space, that puts the Hawks in a unique position to say, maybe we like this 26-year-old guy who's got 3 years left as part of our future. There's so many possibilities the Hawks have here. So keep an eye on that. That, to me, is the thing we're going to be really watching for as the season starts to wrap up and as the trade deadline approaches. So you picked a good team with some good examples on there. That's for sure. I was looking also at the Vegas Golden Knights, and like Alec Martinez is a good player for them. But he's
Can you imagine the shit fire fest that would happen if they acquired him? Fans would be like, 2014, you son of a...
People just freaking out. Or they could acquire Nicoletti's ass. Not him, just the ass.
I wonder what the cap breakdown on that would be.
Would it be like body weight percentage? You just had to do the math, you know, and I'm not a math guy, as you know. So I wanted to make sure we got to that early because, you nailed it. You were right on it. And I had never seen such a definitive response. They're like, yeah, that's what we're doing. So that's great, man. That's awesome. And, your brain went there. Mine had not even considered that. So, very, very cool that you did that. All right. So let's take a break. We come back. We're going to talk about the new ESPN deal. But first, a very noteworthy player has resumed skating and practicing and traveling with the Blackhawks. I think you know who it is, but if you don't, we'll fill you in next on the Madhouse Chicago Hockey Podcast. Welcome back into the Madhouse Chicago Hockey Podcast. Jay Zawoski here in Homewood. James Naveau out there in Bourbonnais. Our friends at Mariska's are out there in Crest Hill, 604 Theater Street. They are family-owned and operated since 1933. And you could tell. You go into Mariska's, it is a family-run place, run with love for generations. The food hasn't changed. The restaurant hasn't changed much. It's just an incredible place to go. And bring your family. Bring your friends. You will not regret it. It is a place you'll will become a regular if you've never been before. It's legendary out there in the Southwest Burbs. And if you go, you'll understand why. The poor boys, the steaks, the chops, the seafood, the double baked potato, the onion rings, everything at Mariska's is absolutely delicious. Handmade from scratch. Just some of the best food you've ever had. So go visit our friends out there in Crest Hill, the Zadralovich family, 604 Theater Street. Go to Mariska's.com or visit Facebook.com/Mariska's. That's M-E-R-I-C-H-K-A-S. They're closed only on Christmas, Easter, the 4th of July, and Thanksgiving. So go there and tell them that the Madhouse Podcast sent you and that they love you and that you love them. All right. So the big news, sort of unexpected, came out earlier this week. Kirby Dach taking the ice for practice, looking good, stick handling, traveling with the team. And before we get too excited, they keep using the term a ways away, right? That's kind of the fallback verbiage they've been using. But if he's traveling with the team and he's stick handling in practice, he's a hell of a lot closer than we thought he was a week ago.
Yeah, and I mean, we've obviously talked a lot about what's going to be required of him to kind of make his way back, and that does include building up the strength in his wrist. And very clearly, if they have him stick handling and they have him out there for, you know, more than just like a drill or two, they're very confident in where he is in his recovery. And I know that they're kind of sticking to that late April timeline, I think, is kind of where they're still at. But if he can get back any sooner than that, that essentially functions as a trade deadline acquisition that you don't have to give up any capital for other than salary cap space, right? Like, that's, to me, that is the best of both worlds. You get a young guy back. Ideally, you're still in the middle of a playoff race at that point, and it just would be so awesome to see him back out on the ice. And it was so surprising and so, I guess, so pleasantly surprising to hear that he was back out on the ice this week, even though the Blackhawks are still being very, very cautious with him. I don't think there is any need to rush him back. I'm sure the Blackhawks would love to have his center depth back in the rotation just based on some of the injuries that they've had to go through, but that would just be a huge shot in the arm to a team that could really use that help, I think, as they continue to move through a tough stretch of their schedule.
I've just found myself, and we've talked about this on the podcast many, many times, as this team continues to surprise us in different and exciting ways every night, just daydreaming of this roster with Dach and also with Jonathan Toews is something that causes a lot of excitement. And not only do we see the return of Kirby Dach, we saw Jonathan Toews for the first time in a really long time. And, you know, a lot of people were sort of trying to medically dissect everything they saw in that Jonathan Toews video. Does he look skinny? Does he look pale? Are his eyebrows thin? All these Twitter doctors. It's like, look, he's there. He looks healthy. He said, I'll see you soon, which, you know, that could just be nervous chatter, but it was good to see Jonathan Toews. And I think, again, this is just me speculating. I know nothing. We're keeping nothing from you guys. I swear. I swear to it. There's nothing I know that we're not telling you. But the fact that he was made, you know, to be seen, I think indicates something good more than something bad, right?
Hope so.
I think it says, hey, look, he's ready to be seen. He's ready to talk. It really troubled me when he was not there for the opening game. That was the first time, aside from the initial announcement, where I was like, whoa, he's not even at the opening game, like in a skybox or on the bench waving. Like, he's just not even there. And that really spooked me. So to see him make the video for Patrick Kane and look good and look, you know, I don't know. Everyone looks like crap on an iPhone video.
He looked a lot better when they put it on TV. I thought he looked better on the TV broadcast than he did on Twitter. I think the video quality might have had something to do with it.
Yeah, definitely. So it was just good to see him again. And the responses to the tweet were just Hawks fans, you know, with the crying emoji and the gifts and everything. And, you know, please come back. We miss you. It was kind of cool to see. And I think we're having a week here with, you know, Patrick Kane reaching 1,000 games and Brent Seabrook retiring and Jonathan Toews popping up for the first time in forever. It's been kind of an emotional roller coaster for Hawks fans this week. And that Jonathan Toews video was a cherry on top. And then how about the Hossa video and the Dominic Hasek video? That was awesome. I'm like, who's this old man? Like, it's Dominic Hasek? Oh, my God.
The sands of time come for us all.
And he gave the, like, really cheesy thumbs up at the end. But it was funny. It was cool. And Hossa saying, you know, it's been really cool to watch you become this two-way player. And then kind of jabs at him, like, I never thought I would say that. Or I can't believe I'm actually seeing it. It was just a cool, I don't know. It's too bad that game sucked as bad as it did. Because it right. should have been a really great night, but man, just to see, it has been an emotional week for Hawks fans, that's for sure.
Yeah, and it's obviously with the retirement of Brent Seabrook and then with the 1,000th game of Patrick Kane, again, it just is another example of time basically coming for us all. I know we mentioned on our last broadcast that the tribute that they were running on NBCSN for Patrick Kane, where all the young players like Matthew Tkachuk were, we loved you growing up, Kaner, and it's just me slamming my head into a desk repeatedly the entire time as we watch that, because it's just, I'm so old, this is the worst. And then the Dominic Hasek thing reminded me of talking about with Russ Dorsey about our favorite non-Blackhawks players of all time,
yeah,
and how I got into hockey largely was ESPN broadcasting a crap ton of Buffalo Sabres games with Dominic Hasek in net. And speaking of ESPN, mm-hmm. Jay Zawoski, there's another big thing that we have to talk about, and that's the new TV rights deal that the NHL has agreed to with the worldwide leader.
I'm really excited about this, and here's the official press release from ESPN. NHL hockey games will return to ESPN starting with the 2021-22 season. ESPN and the NHL announced a 7-year deal on Wednesday, returning hockey to ESPN for the first time since 2004. Included will be 25 regular season games on ESPN or ABC, early round playoff series, and one conference final each year, 4 Stanley Cup final series on ABC, and more than 1,000 games per season streaming on ESPN+. ESPN Plus and Hulu will become home to 75 ESPN-produced exclusive telecasts per season. The deal also includes opening night games, the NHL All-Star Game and Skills Challenge, and other special events. The NHL's out-of-market streaming package, NHL TV, is also moving to ESPN Plus as part of its subscription offerings.
So you no longer will have to pay for NHL TV and ESPN Plus separately. You'll just have to pay your ESPN Plus subscription, something I've obviously been doing for quite a while. That was mind-melting to me when I saw that the NHL was kicking its longtime streaming service to the curb. I honestly, having had all but basically the NFL streaming packages in my life, I have to say NHL TV has held up really well in terms of quality. I was slightly surprised to see that they were going in that direction, but I'm not going to complain about it, and neither is my wallet.
No, it's way cheaper. Way cheaper and way better. You know, I'm really excited.
Way more offerings, obviously.
Definitely. I want to see if I can get this to work. I want to see if I can play the ESPN theme.
Yeah!
It's back!
And they said they were bringing the theme back, which I love. Because that is... That's on the Mount Rushmore of sports theme songs, right? That is so good.
Let's bask. Ooh, guitar solo.
Yep. Word on whether or not they're bringing back Gary Thorne, by the way.
You know who I'm happiest for?
Barry Melrose?
John Buccigross.
I was going to say Linda Cohn for me, but I completely agree with you on that front.
That dude is just such a hockey nutball. Like, he just loves it. Like, he is a true hockey ambassador. The whole college hockey thing he's been doing for years. I'm happy for him. But yeah, there are a lot of, like, Steve Levy's another one. There's a lot of huge, legit hockey fans on that network. And I'm happy for him. This is good for the sport. And this has been the complaint I've had, is you can kind of parallel the decline in hockey's popularity with the loss of games on ESPN. I mean, that's...
I would like to point out the irony of the fact that the last time ESPN broadcast a game was 2004, Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Final. I believe Daryl Sutter was the head coach of the Flames at that point, wasn't he?
I believe so.
And guess who's the head coach of the Calgary Flames now?
Darryl Sutter.
There it is. Yeah. Slightly wild how everything just times a flat circle, as Matthew McConaughey once so adequately said. I do have one slight concern, but it could be addressed with the other network that gets involved in rights. Because, by the way, the rights, it seems like the NHL is splitting the rights in this deal, leaving the door open for a company like NBC or potentially another company to jump in and grab the rest of it. I don't know how I feel about them only broadcasting 25 games a season on ESPN or ABC. I know that sounds obviously like a lot, but when you kind of put that to the NHL calendar, that's less than a game a week during the regular season. Obviously, I know a lot of people are going towards streaming. ESPN has a lot of properties. I hope that the other partner that they bring in is going to nationally broadcast more games than that for those people who still largely consume their sports content through cable cable sports networks.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how this is rolled out. I'm curious about it, too, because you're right. 25 in a season is not a lot. I mean, on NBC, you're getting more than NBC Sportsnet. You're getting at least, what, two or three a week? Then you've got the after football ends, you've got one on the weekend. So it's significantly more on NBC. But I think the value for the league is so much higher, even though it's fewer games. And I'm curious how ESPN Plus does as an app. I know a lot of people sign up for it that love soccer because it's a good way to watch soccer, like international soccer games.
It's also the only way to buy UFC fights, too.
Yeah, so I think, you know, people are cutting the cord more, and which is ironic because I finally was like, screw it, I'm just getting Xfinity because I can't be chasing marquee sports all the time.
Yep.
Because I need it for my job. I have to have Cub games in my life or I will be fired. So chasing that around was like, screw it, I'm just paying for Xfinity. That's it.
So
I'm done
dramatic,
with it.
Jay.
Well, I know, but it's just, it's frustrating. It's you're trying to save money. You're trying to find a different way, and it becomes very, very difficult to do. So this is really good news for the league, really good news for hockey fans, and I think it's good for the growth of the game because it's going to get – what it means is ESPN will put hockey on SportsCenter, and they'll talk about it on their talking head shows, and that's going to make a difference. That's huge for the growth of the game.
I'm also really curious to see if NBC does re-up. I know, obviously, NBCSN is going away later this year. I'm not sure. They planned on having games on USA Network, potentially. I know, obviously, NBC also has the streaming service Peacock. I would imagine that that's kind of out the window now if all the games are going to be available on ESPN+. I'm very curious to see how the rights structure looks, and it does seem like a couple of Stanley Cup finals are going to be available for whatever other network joins on. Could you potentially see the NHL move to CBS? I know that that's something I've seen floated out there. If NBC isn't going to aggressively go after the remainder of the rights deal, we could see a huge seismic shift in the availability of hockey games on TV and on streaming platforms. And wouldn't you just kill to have Jim Nantz call a Stanley Cup final? That would be really interesting.
Hello, friends. We're at Madison Square Garden. And Artemi Panarin just scored 4 goals on the Blackhawks, making Jay look stupid for another year.
And that's literally all he would say. Just everything that happens is, in order to make Jay Zawoski look incredibly stupid, this thing happened.
Yeah. Well, it'd be easy. It would happen very, very often.
I
oh, by the way, we should
saying that. Stop it.
I know. We should clear up, too. if you're in Chicago, Hawks games will still be on NBC Sports Chicago.
To the best of our knowledge.
As far as we know right now, and those things can always change, but safe to assume that local games will still be part of, you may have heard the term RSN. If you don't know what that means, Regional Sports Network, that's exactly what NBC Sports Chicago and ESPN, NBC Sports Chicago Plus are. Those are right. RSNs in the Chicago market. All right.
We had heard rumblings they were going to get rid of blackout restrictions, which would be extremely interesting if they did that.
Well, then you wouldn't have a need for RSNs.
Yeah.
But then that means a lot of people are laid off, and that's not good.
No, not good at all.
And you don't have your local broadcasters.
I think the blackouts, obviously, if you got rid of those, it would impact the RSN in terms of its streaming audience. But there's still only one way to see it on terrestrial cable and to watch it on TV, obviously, and that would be the RSN. I obviously would think that they would probably renegotiate that deal and be like, hey, wait a minute, if we don't have that exclusivity, why are we going to give you X amount of money? So that I think may have been something that, you know, somebody threw out as wishful thinking, but it is also worth keeping an eye on to see what the NHL does, because I know the bane of everyone's existence is blackout restrictions, and I'm very curious to see how the NHL approaches that.
Me too. I don't know where that sound came from that you just heard, so I'm going to close all my windows. That was very strange. sorry, everybody. All right, before we wrap up, we want to send a note of congrats to our friends at Fry the Coop. They opened up their Tinley Park location. It is open. That
Did
is
you
the best news
the
ever.
Instagram
oh my God.
Post up the line that was there.
You're god dang right I saw it. Of course I did.
Good grief. My wife showed it to me and said to me, we're probably going to have to wait a couple of weeks before we go to Fry the Coop. And I said, heck, even if we waited 5 days, we would ultimately be waiting 2 weeks for chicken.
Well, here's the trick.
I'm a funny man.
You could just drive an extra couple miles and go to the Oak Lawn location. There's plenty of location. If you don't want to wait in line at Tinley, because those lines are long, and we're going to give a celebratory to Joe Fontana and everybody at Fry the Coop. Congrats on Tinley Park. Cannot wait to get out there. But Oaklawn, Elmhurst, Westtown, Prospect Heights, you're already set up with Fry the Coop. Go to frythecoop.com. Find the location nearest you. Place your order online. Get in your car. Go get it. Go home. Eat it. Be happy. Rinse, repeat for the rest of your life, and you will be a happy, happy, but maybe a little bit fat person, because that is the best damn Nashville hot chicken you'll ever have. That donut chicken sandwich is something to die for. Man, I am so happy to have Fry the Coop so close to my house. It's a little bit dangerous, but I think I'm going to be good and disciplined and only have it 3 times a week. I think I can do that. So go visit Fry the Coop, frythecoop.com. Come get your happiness at Fry the Coop. Congrats to Joe and his staff at Fry the Coop. Very good news for them. I know that's been something they've been wanting to get done for a long time, and it is done. So great, 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 awesome news. So happy to be partnered with a business like Fry the Coop. So with that, we're going to wrap things up. Thanks, everybody, for listening to the Madhouse Chicago Hockey Podcast. We'll be back with you very, very soon. I know, James, you're going out of town. Is that correct?
I am going to be in Arizona for the weekend.
All right. Well, if anything crazy happens, I will jump on and do a podcast myself. I might do a post game by myself. It all depends on how bored I am this weekend, and I am pretty bored. So thanks for listening. We always appreciate it. James, have a good, safe trip. We'll talk to you next week. Have a safe, great weekend, everybody. This has been the Madhouse Chicago Hockey Podcast.
The Madhouse Chicago Hockey Podcast was brought to you by Triple Threat Sports, Marischka's in Crest Hill, Dr. Squatch, and by Fry the Coop.